Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you, God, that you're blessing these kids as they go out to Sunday school, Father God, to the next gen. God, I just thank you now that you're blessing everybody in here this morning, that they can receive from you what you want them to have. And I thank you right now, Father God, especially for the fathers in here today, that you would just bless them, especially on Father's Day today. Thank you, God, for the word you gave me. Thank you, God, for you. Bless everybody here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Yes. Oh, that was it? I'm sorry. We can be excited here at church today. It's not a dirge. You didn't come here for a funeral. You came here because he is risen and he is real. He is more real now than he has ever been, and he's changing lives here and all over the world. We can be excited about that. Amen. Yes, amen. And especially because we're talking about audacious faith, right? Audacious faith. That's our message for this series, audacious faith. When was the last time you prayed an audacious prayer, had faith for God to move an impossible way in your life or in our world? When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you purposed that in your mind? God, I'm going to pray this prayer. I know it's audacious. I know it's out there, but I am believing for it. I believe you can do an audacious thing in my life. And even more importantly, I believe you can do an audacious thing in the world today. It's time to build up your confidence in who Jesus is and what he has done for you. He is moving here and he is moving right now. You can't earn it. You can't strive for it. Faith is given by God and he's giving it to you. Have you received it? The world is waiting for you to have audacious prayers. The world is waiting for you to stand and be audacious for God. Are you stepping into your audacious faith this year, this summer, right now, for your home, for your town, and for the world? It is so important. Did you take him serious? He is an audacious God in a great and mighty way. And we have the right, and he expects us to be audacious in our faith for him and in him. Because there's a world out there that needs us to be audacious for him. It's a great responsibility. It's something to think about. Because our audacious faith is not just about us, it's about those around us that need to hear that audacious faith that we can have in him. Do you have an audacious faith in Jesus? Our key verse for this month, this message series is what? What is it? Come on. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Do you have a faith in the assurance of the things you cannot see and have the conviction for it? Today's a special message because it is Father's Day. And this is the opposite of what I just was just a second ago. Today's message is called A Quiet Faith That Changed the World. A Quiet Faith That Changed the World. When I was thinking about what to preach about for the month, usually I do preach on Father's Day, but it wasn't guaranteed right away. So as I was praying, I go, you know, God, who do you want me to pray about? What's the father? Who's the father? So, you know, like normally when you talk about fathers of the faith and, you know, great men of God who were known to be fathers, you're thinking about Abraham and, you know, Moses and David and all those things, great people. But he says, Joseph, the father of Jesus. I was like, wow. I mean, obvious in a way, but less obvious, because when you hear a Father's Day message, you don't really ever hear of his message. You don't really ever hear his story told in the time, because when you look into his life, when you look into his story, there really isn't that much there as compared to other fathers of the faith in the Bible. Because when you really get down to it, there's only a few verses, maybe 10, 15 at the most, that talk about him, and where you can see his life and his audacious faith. Our key verse for today is this. And this is Matthew 1, verse 19. And her husband Joseph, being a righteous man. Being a righteous man. When I saw those words, when I heard them, when I spoke them out, that righteous man just spoke to me right there. A righteous man. That's what the others saw him as a righteous man. One version that I've read, it says, Joseph, who did what was right. He was a righteous man. Righteousness in this verse, it's a Greek word. It's in its Greek word is pronounced dikaios. It means righteous, righteous man, right, just, righteous one, innocent, and justice. So it's not just a small thing. To be righteous is a great and mighty thing. Joseph is an example of what quiet faith looks like. And as we'll see, he had a quiet faith, but it spoke loud as could be. The event that we're going to talk about, the thing that we're going to look at, is not the main point, but it was happening that brings to surface his great quiet faith. His audacious faith. This morning, I looked up what audacious meant. What does this audacious faith mean? Audacious means this: showing a willingness to take surprisingly bold and fearless and unconventional risks. Ooh. Fearless, bold, unconventional. And even more clearly here, surprisingly bold and fearless and unconventional actions and risks. There it is. Sometimes we think our audacious faith needs to be loud. Sometimes we think it needs to be up here and showy and glitzy and glamour. But as we're about to see, audacious faith can be quiet. When actually you look into it, we don't even hear Joseph speak anything. Through the scripture, he doesn't even, you know, like we know he does things, we know how he feels, but it's another person saying it about him. It's not like Joseph got up and said, I'm going to do this. Somebody else said that about him. Some things to think about as we go through this. Like I was just saying, sometimes we think audacious faith needs to be bold out there and in front of everybody. But sometimes it can be the quietest thing in the world that speaks the loudest. Another thing to think about as we go through this, does our godly character show when it hurts the most? Do we have an audacious faith to trust in him in this present time for our future when we're going through the worst things in our life? And for the fathers, because it is Father's Day, and this is a Father's Day message, though I have to make it for the multitudes. Father, sometimes we feel like we're not seen. Sometimes we feel like we're not heard by our kids, by our wives. But they do see us. They do hear us as we walk out our faith. Do we act in a godly way? Do we show them an audacious faith? And as, I don't know if you've noticed this, but for fathers especially when we preach about fathers, whether it's a men's convention or Father's Day, in the church traditionally what we've seen lately is when men get together, there's always a message of like, we're not doing enough. Like, we could be better at being men. And that has its place, because there is this thing in the church sometimes where, you know, like men get passive and we stand back and stuff, and we let the world happen to us instead of us happening to the world. There is an important message in that. But when we hear that all the time, we're going to think we're going to get a complex and think we're just never going to match up to what we're supposed to be. And that's not what I'm going to be preaching about today. Because you guys are good. You guys are righteous men. And you guys are doing what God has told you to do. So I'm here to build you up in a world that sometimes says we don't need men. We need you. We want you. You have a purpose and a plan. There are people around you who are looking at you. You don't even know it. But you're having an effect on their lives in a great way. So without further ado, could you please turn to Matthew chapter 1? We're getting right at the beginning of Matthew. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be one under your seat in front of you. And if you need a Bible, because you do, get a hold of us. We'll get you one. We'll make you find one. We're going to start off right here in verse 18. Joseph, a man. It's a familiar story, but usually we hear this at a different time of the year. Not in the middle of the winter, but usually in the winter time around Christmas time, because it's talking about the birth of Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to go a couple verses. We're going to stop and talk about some things, look at some things, blow our minds. It's going to be awesome. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. This is how it happened. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And to know more about that, go to Luke. It tells the whole story about how that all happened, but we're concentrating on Joseph today, so here we go. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Ooh, Joseph being a righteous man. I want to stop here just for a second. Because what was said here in just these few verses is huge, but it seems like it's a small thing, but it's a huge thing. So first of all, we've got the supernatural thing where Mary has been overcome by the Holy Spirit and is pregnant. And then her betrothed hears about this, and the key verse of him being a righteous man, right here, powerful. Well, what does this whole betrothed thing mean? What does it look like? Well, we think it's just they're engaged. Yes, that is true, but let's look at what it really means to be betrothed in the ancient times in Israel. We need context. We need the Hebrew roots of this. What does this look like? What did it mean to do this? Well, first of all, in the ancient tradition, the Jewish tradition, when they got together, they were most likely matched up by a matchmaker. That's what they did back then. Families hired a matchmaker, and they would do their thing, and then they would make the match, and they would come together like that. And now we see them in the second part, and this phase of betrothal. And the Hebrew word for this is erushin, means betrothed. So first part, you get match made. You get your match, you come together. Then the second part is the betrothal period. And in this period, it lasts usually about a year. And there's so much that goes on. They come together, and in front of witnesses, they say, these two are betrothed together. There's people witnessing it. There's documents signed saying that these two are bound together. They don't live with each other, but they're committed to each other. And this is cool. So during this time when they're committed together, they're not living with each other. But what he's doing is he goes back and he's preparing a house for them, a room for them. And it's familiar because Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, because we're betrothed to Jesus. So in this betrothal time between us and Jesus, he's going to prepare a place for us. That is what is happening in this time. So Joseph is now preparing a place for him and Mary to be when they get married. And this, like I said, this is a time period of about a year. Then at the end of it, Joseph's father tells Joseph when he thinks he's ready to go back and get Mary. Just like Jesus says, I don't know the hour and the time when I'm coming back, only the Father knows. Because back then, only the Father knew when he was going to send his son to go get his betrothed. So, wow, big, awesome. This is awesome and powerful. So this is why it's so important. In this time period, Joseph's doing everything to get ready to be with her forever. He's gone through this process. He's agreed to be with her. He's stood in front of witnesses that he knows intimately and says, I'm going to be with her, and she's going to be with me, and I've committed myself to her forever to be with her. So as we go on further, as we hear about that, as we hear at the end of verse 18, she was betrothed to Joseph, and we just found out how important that was. But she was found to be with child. And her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Could you imagine that? And when you look at the scripture, they don't say specifically like this time period and this time period. We know from Luke that God, through an angel, comes to speak to Mary, and she's told that she's a righteous woman and that she's going to be with child and that the Holy Spirit will overcome her and she'll get pregnant. And she's like, oh, how could this be? I'm a virgin. And the angel says, you know, that all things are possible with God. And she's like, okay, let it be as you say. I'm a bondslave of the Lord. I'm a bondservant of the Lord. And it says immediately when that happens, she goes away to go to her cousin's house, Elizabeth. Then there's a time period, we believe it about 3 months, when she comes back to where she's from. And this is probably when Joseph realized that there was something going on. You can't hide it when it's 3 months along. And over the week, I was thinking, like, what would this kind of be like? Because Joseph, a righteous man, he's doing what he's doing. He's making a house. He's also a carpenter, so he's working, doing his thing. Could you imagine being, like, at work, and you're working along, and then the woman that you're supposed to be marrying comes back into town, and people are starting to see her, and they're like, isn't that Mary? She's looking a little pregnant right now. And I know she's with Joseph, and they're not supposed to be doing stuff like that right now. Could you imagine, like, somebody coming from the town and finding Joseph and saying, Mary's back, and dude, she's pregnant? Because, I mean, like, I don't know if that's how it happened, but I can imagine, like, that happening. And, like, putting myself in that place right there at that moment. Like, what would I be thinking? Here I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing, living a righteous life, because it's proclaimed that he was a righteous man. He was doing what he was supposed to do. Could you imagine to be working or doing something, then you encounter this and you see her pregnant? And I could just think of all the things that would go through my mind and how I would handle that. And I know Joseph handled this correctly, but I'm thinking of myself. How would I handle this if the one that I was supposed to be engaged to and supposed to be faithful to for my whole life came to me, and when I saw her to be pregnant, and I knew that I didn't do the thing to get her pregnant? How would I handle that? Mary, you're pregnant. I know I wasn't the one who got you that way. Just think about that. This powerful moment. And I think this is one of the moments that I know in my life would be one of the worst moments of my life. The person that I love, that I want to be with forever, has just come to me with evidence that they were unfaithful to me. We know now that that wasn't the case, but he didn't know that at the time. So in that moment when he saw her, it's like, what are you doing? But God and the evidence of an audacious faith was in this man. Because he didn't handle it like we would handle it. He handled it like a righteous man with audacious faith. And we can see here, like with this thing in verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her. Could you imagine that? After all she's done to him and after all he's done for her, didn't want to disgrace her, but planned to send her away secretly. What we learn from these scriptures is he was a righteous man. He was a godly man. He was faithful to God. And as we'll see, he was faithful to Mary. He was the husband that he didn't have to be. It would have been completely understandable if he had gotten rid of her. It would have been completely understandable if he had nothing whatsoever to do with her forever. Because in that moment, he didn't know what was happening. But in that moment, and this is where I want to get into, that it's more than just about Joseph, it's more than just about Mary, and it's more than just this thing right here. But it's in this moment that we see in him this righteousness, this audacious faith, this quiet audacious faith where he didn't act out and scream and do any of that. He wanted to handle her with a righteous way and send her away secretly. There's the evidence that this man walked with God. Because in his worst moment, when he was under the most pressure, the thing that was squeezed out of him was godliness and righteousness and an audacious faith. When he was squeezed in this moment, this event didn't change who he was, and it could have. I know for me, when I looked at it, I think it confirmed in him his relationship with God and his righteousness because he spent time with him. Because when he was squeezed in this moment, that righteousness was squeezed in and out. We don't see from the scripture of how much time he spent with God, but we know he did because when he faced this, godliness was shown. He didn't lose his cool. He didn't lash out. He didn't question his God-given identity. He didn't say any of those things. He had a quiet confidence in who God was and who he was in God. He didn't question God's goodness. I think I would have. Especially in this thing, because if I knew I was doing what was right, but she still did this to me, And another thing that happened here, in his quiet faithfulness, he didn't become a victim. He didn't become a victim. And I know that might blow your minds in a little bit, but he didn't become a victim. In this world today, it's so easy to become a victim because of what somebody's done to you, what you didn't get, what you've received, what all those things. And we have, just like Joseph here, we have the right to be a victim because what they did was wrong, and I hadn't done anything to them. But he didn't allow that to happen to him in his life. He did not become a victim. Do you believe yourself to be a victim by what has happened in your life? Because if you have Jesus, you are not a victim anymore. And I'm not saying what has happened to you was easy or light, and that they didn't do bad things to you. But like Joseph, when he was going through the worst part of his life, he drew on that quiet confidence of a man spending time with God. Not to become a victim, not to lash out, and to do all the things that you would expect somebody to do in that position. He had a quiet faith and a strong faith. He had an audacious faith. How is your character under pressure? I know for me, as I was thinking about this and going over it in my mind, one of the hardest things for me would have been the part where I know Joseph was doing what was right, and yet this thing happened to him. Like for me, if I was treating you well, if I was treating you good, and I was being nice to you, and I was treating you with respect, and all those things, and you still did this to me, that would be very hard for me to go over. Because why would you do that to me? Because I was treating you so well. That would be one of the hardest things in my life, I think, to get over. Because that's what I've seen in me. It's like, wait a minute, how could you do this to me? I've been treating you so well. I've been doing everything that you want me to do. And yet you would do this to me? How about you? How is your character? How is your audacious faith? When the pressure comes and what happened to you is unjust and in right and you don't know the outcome, how is your faith? What is pressed out when you're being squeezed? What are the words you say? What are the actions that you do? Do you think about getting revenge? And like he could have. In that moment, he didn't know that it was God that was giving Mary this honor. He just knew that his betrothed was a woman who was pregnant. And it wouldn't have come across your mind that God was making a virgin pregnant. It wouldn't have come across your mind. In that moment, you would have said, you slept with somebody who wasn't me, and now you're doing this to me. He didn't know what was going to happen, but his audacious and righteous faith caused him to act in a certain way that honored Mary. Not only does our audacious and amazing faith get us through the moment and the circumstances, as we will see, it leads to a point where we can see past the moment of pain to know that God has a great future for us, despite what is happening now. It goes on to say in verse 20, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you, Dan, and you, Josh, Joseph, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' And Joseph woke up from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary to be as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called him Jesus." Our audacious faith in what happened with Joseph. When we spend time with God and our character becomes under pressure in these moments, something is squeezed out. What is being squeezed out of you when you're under pressure? We can tell that he walked with God because of the way he acted. Because he didn't know how it was going to play out, but he handled it in a righteous way. God had something greater than the moment of pain that he was in, because he revealed what he was doing. I don't know all the things that God is doing in your life right now and as you walk through certain things, but I know this thing for sure, that God is good and that he has a plan for you and he's working these things out in your life. So the thing that you're walking through is not the end of your life. It's just what you're going through, because we're all going to go through things in our lives. Jesus said, "There will be tribulation, but take heart, for I've overcome the world." There is a bigger picture. There is a bigger plan than what any circumstance that you're going through. But the circumstances that we walk through produce something in us. What is it producing? What are you showing? How are you showing the world that you're a righteous person? Joseph was the husband that he didn't have to be. Sometimes as fathers, because in the physical, being a parent is not as intensive as it is for the woman, because she gives birth to the child. And in all reality, the man can walk out, but he chose to stay. Sometimes our audacious faith is quiet because we choose to stay. We choose to say yes when we could have said no. And sometimes, as fathers, we think people take that for granted because it's not shouted from the rooftops. But it's that quiet yes. God, I say yes to you. I say yes to her. I say yes to the child that's coming. I'm going to be its father. I choose to do that. And I will raise him as my own. That's what Joseph did there. He could have said no, and nobody would have blamed him. The quiet confidence, the quiet faith, the audacious faith that spoke louder than words. And it changed the world. Amen. He was the husband he didn't have to be because he became the father he didn't have to be. When you're going through your worst time in life, what is being squeezed out? Because I guarantee you, God is working something out that'll change the world. Ooh, there's more to get to, but it is over time. So, if we could stand on our little feet. I mean, there was, I mean, like the greatest, well, I should, no, okay. Joseph, this righteous man, said yes to her, but he got the awesome gift of being the father of Jesus here on the earth. So that is so awesome. It's like he brings this, ooh, that is so cool. It may not be to that level in our lives, and it won't be, because Jesus, this only happened once, and it's not happening again like this. But who knows what the outcome is going to be if you say yes to God in your darkest moment. God, I'm going to handle this like you handled it. And the important thing is, I'm handling it like you do because I spend time with you. And this is the evidence that I do so, because when I'm crushed, I don't scream, swear, or lash out. I praise you, God. I thank you, God. I treat people with righteous and respect. Because when I'm squeezed, righteousness comes. Because I know that you have my best in mind for me. Because I know you love me than I love me. You want the best for me more than I do. And I love myself. So, Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this message. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the circumstances that you are with us through, Father God, because as life happens to us, we want righteousness to be squeezed. We want this audacious faith to be evident in our lives. When people look at it and they see, how could you go through this and still have a smile on your face and still be so happy? Because the joy is not conditioned on a situation. The joy is from the Lord, and it's there, and he has it for you that you can walk in it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's not an emotion. Whew, it's more than that. It is who we are when we're walking him. The joy of the Lord. Do you have the joy of the Lord on you no matter what's happening? What is being squeezed out when you're being squeezed? Father God, we just thank you for those opportunities to show the world this awesome, audacious faith we have in you. God, I just want you to bless everybody this week. Bless everybody that's here, Father God. Bless everybody who's watching online. I know there are. I see you. And somebody who's going to hear this message in the future, when they think they're at the end and they can't take any more, and you call them to hear a message, and they pick up this message and they can hear it and their faith gets built up and they can walk through it. We just ask that you bless them, Father God. We just want to thank you, Lord, because you're so awesome. You're so amazing. Bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.